Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Well, maybe we do the hockey next time. Maybe Winnipeg is where the hockey is going.
Do-over?
Yeah, I mean, it looked a lot worse than it was, but it didn't look good.
5-2 losers to the Utah Hockey Club. Good morning, Mully. It's a Wednesday, and if you stayed up late last night, it was not worth it, Hawks fans, because the Hawks begin the season with a loss.
They do.
And it was a listless loss.
Well,
listless because it's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hockey season.
I thought they were playing. I didn't think they were. There was an issue with them kind of snoozing on the court, listlessly wandering around instead of skating. I thought they did okay. It's
Delta Center convert. Yeah, that place was converted to a hockey rink. There were 5,000 fans that packed into there, and they could not see both goals. 5,000 seats that were obstructed.
I knew when I saw Gary Bettman at the fan event earlier in the day that Utah's not a hockey place, that Salt Lake City doesn't deserve a hockey team. They gave him polite applause.
They did. They
kind of cheered him.
They don't know the drill yet. They don't know that you boo the commissioner.
You boo Gary Bettman.
At every turn, especially Gary Bettman.
Every turn.
Every commissioner, but especially him.
He has to be booed.
So the Hawks don't get off to a good start. Nick Foligno, Tavo score goals. Bedard had 2 assists, so he's on the board. But it was disappointing, yes. And they go to Winnipeg on Friday night now.
Yeah.
Tough start.
Next game.
Tough start because 10 of the first 15 games are on the road for a team that is gelling slowly. A lot of new players.
I mean, are they different than they were a year ago?
Much.
There's better talent around Bedard. I understand all that.
Low bar.
You know, you just if you had to go to bed fairly early, you saw the score and you thought, oh, I've seen that game all preseason.
First period was not very impressive.
No, it wasn't.
No, and I saw the first period and I was like, yeah. And then you wake up and you see what else happened and you're not terribly surprised. Glad they made it respectable. Utah Hockey Club, UHC, had the Yeti. I think they could still call it the Yeti eventually. They had a couple empty net goals.
Oh, empty netties?
The empty Yetis. And 5-2 it was, and off to an 0-1 start.
The MLB playoffs were excellent.
Oh, my.
If you like that sort of thing, if you like playoff baseball, very exciting. And now we've got a couple of elimination games today. Very exciting.
Very exciting, especially if you are, boy, a Padres fan or a Mets fan. They look like the hottest teams right now. But the big story, I think, is obviously the Dodgers with a $357 million payroll are on the brink of elimination in the first round.
And who knew that the Padres have a solver of the great riddle that is Shohei Ohtani? He's struck out now against the bullpen in 3 straight games.
He struck out against the bullpen. Mookie Betts is cold, and that lineup.
He had a homer yesterday,
but he that was his first hit in 23 at bats.
Well, he hit a homer the other day. It's just
but it was taken away.
Yeah.
And the thing about last night's was it was almost the exact same play.
And he thought he got him,
and
again.
He thought that he got him again.
Yeah, it was funny.
And yes, Mookie Betts did homer in that inning. That was all the action in that second inning, and 6 runs the Padres scored were enough. Barely, because Teoscar Hernandez hit the grand slam. But how about the way that Machado kind of was always in the middle of everything? He is kind of, he reminded me of like AJ Pierzynski play. That was last night. He gets in the way of the throw from Freddie Freeman to second base, and then the floodgates opened because that error or that misplay led to everything else. And the Dodgers really, then they lost their head with a double play that wasn't. The defense really got in the way, and in a 1-run game, it mattered.
Well, I think what's interesting is Machado is really into this series, and you just get a hint of how good he really is. I wish he were engaged like that at all times, because he's totally engaged in this particular series. He's got he's got some dislike for his neighbor.
His former team.
His former team, and I think that it is – it is apparent that that he does not like them.
He threw the ball at Dave Roberts.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about that a little bit. Did he really? I mean, there's a net there, and there's I agree that, but you know, for a guy that has kind of pinpoint accuracy, he didn't really hit him.
He didn't really, the gesture was
hey,
rooted Roberts, in malice.
No question.
Okay, that's I guess the point. Yeah. Is that regardless of how it looked, you know what his intent was. And so he doesn't like the Dodgers for whatever reason. He does seem more engaged.
And Dave Roberts did come out and talk about it. And then yesterday, from the minute he was introduced, he was booed lustily. You got to love the fans reacting to that.
And I love the fact that they're pointing out that, well, Dave Roberts, a former Padre, he's the Dodgers manager. Of course he's going to get booed, regardless of where he played or how long he played there. Dave Roberts is going to get booed in San Diego, especially with a crowd that was like an SEC football crowd. Mm. Oh, my gosh, waving those yellow towels. That was crazy. Petco Park goes nuts.
Yeah, it was like a terrible towel waving.
And then your guy, Tatis, oh, my gosh, is he hot. Red hot.
Yeah.
Four home runs in the postseason.
I would not have traded him back many, many years ago.
What is James Shields doing these days?
Yeah. What did he do those days? That wasn't much.
Batting practice?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Actually, the Padres, would you say they're fun to watch?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are.
I think so.
They got a lot of talented players, and they got a lot of guys that are,
Machado plays the villain role very well.
Yes.
Everybody's got to have one of those guys. And so I think Tatis leans into it very well. And they've got, they didn't have great pitching last night, but tonight, Dylan Cease can end the Dodgers season on short rest. I'm a little surprised. Are you a little surprised?
I am a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that they're going with a bullpen game, but I think it speaks to their pitching.
Well, I guess as surprised that Cease is coming back on short rest.
Well, I think they're trying to end the thing, and they want to get it over with as fast as possible.
Well, that was one of the performances last night that was really fun in baseball, but the Mets had the other one that was outstanding.
The earlier game was outstanding.
Yeah.
And the Mets, you know, it's funny because, like, if you just knee-jerk response what's going on, the miracle Mets, as we heard them referred to, they have the second highest payroll in baseball. The cool thing that is going on here is that somehow the Mets have become underdogs despite the fact that the owner has splashed huge money for that team.
Well, I think that's a fair comment, but I also think that it's in reference as much to where they came from in the standings.
This is a
team that was left for dead. They weren't as bad or far down as the Tigers in the American League, but I don't think that a lot of people expected the Mets to be making the run that they went on, especially with the pitching that they didn't. This is a team that unloaded in the last couple of years, Verlander and they don't have DeGrom really. Had all these guys on the same staff, and now they're making a run with unlikely guys leading the way.
So today you have Philadelphia and the Dodgers facing elimination. Just think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. They are facing elimination games. How would that ruin everybody's NCAA tournament picks?
Well,
see what I'm saying? Like,
If you went chalk, you're dreading today because you're on the verge of losing your favorite teams or the teams that you chose and predicted would win.
But I don't feel like if that happens that baseball is suddenly not going to be interesting.
I don't either.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be even more interesting.
Yeah.
Look, the Mets-Padres NLCS, if it happens that way, is very compelling.
I agree.
Two hot teams that played their way into the tournament or played their way into this stage and – the Mets get a inspired performance from Sean Manaea, who talked afterward, a local guy, Northwest Indiana.
Yes.
He pitched because he lost his aunt. He dedicated the outing to her, and the Mets are playing inspired baseball. Pete Alonso goes opposite field again. The guy who has all the pull power and prodigious power, he's going opposite field for his home runs now. So he's dangerous.
It's incredible. He hadn't done that all year, and then he did it, obviously, in Milwaukee, and there he goes again. And again, you know, you're a Cubs player. You would have been, should have, could have been Cubs player. I thought it was amazing. Like, in the post game, Manaea is asked about He's like, you know, I lost my Aunt Mabel. It was just like so kind of heartwarming.
It was. And that's why I think people get into the story a little bit. There's a lot of emotion invested in and the unlikely nature of their Milwaukee victory, the way they came back. I think it's easy to get behind a story like this, even though you're right in pointing out they're the second highest payroll in baseball.
I mean, but we are.
This is the best story money could buy.
That's well played.
But how about today?
That's very well played.
It's funny, Mully, because you're right about what could happen in the National League. And ironic, it's not ironic, I guess it's very interesting from a Chicago prism through that which we watch all sports.
Sure.
You've got Jose Quintana and Dylan Cease on the mound ready to clinch for the unlikely NLCS participants.
Mm-hmm.
He's Quintana for the Mets, Cease for the Padres. Good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I do think, however, if it ends up an all AL Central American League Championship, I'm not sure I'm on board for that.
I get it.
I just don't know that I can handle that. I don't blame you.
It would be difficult to, if the Royals beat the Yankees.
I don't know if that's good. I don't know that that just makes for a compelling baseball, especially
if you get Detroit, Kansas City in the ALCS.
I don't know that I can handle it.
And you got Cease going against Quintana in Game 7 of the NLCS. Look away.
Yeah.
Look away.
It would be
look
really,
away, Sox fans.
Yeah, I don't know. That's too much.
Skip Schumacher.
That might be.
Or Buck Showalter.
Yeah, they're not in a hurry to get that
No, they're
done,
not,
huh?
Are they?
No.
What time is
Tito
it?
Tito was introduced.
Oh, yeah.
But they
it's only October
9th. It wasn't
9th.
Introduced here.
It's October 9th. Due diligence.
I mean, I hate to say
Due diligence.
We'll get into it. Okay. I don't want to reveal.
Don't spoil.
I don't want to.
That's pick six. That's a tease.
I know.
That's a tease, listeners.
I didn't mean to attempt to start answering it by bad-mouthing how cheap they are. I won't do that.
Don't do that.
So I'll do that later, I should say. We don't want to start with that.
You got to stay on brand.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Dave. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave's coming back today to say something else about DeAndre Swift.
Throw a little dirt on him. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed the Bulls last night. I mean, I couldn't believe that I watched it, that I stayed with it, that I spent as much time with it. But, oh, God. And they were down. Were they down 16?
15 at halftime or something.
Yeah, they were down.
They looked bad.
But I didn't think they looked
defense.
Bad.
No,
I thought they
did.
Were. I mean, I was enjoying just the difference of it. And Josh Giddey played, which I was very pleased about because I had been concerned that he had this injury and he blew out a ligament. What happened? Like I was momentarily taken aback.
No, hold on.
Yes.
Momentarily taken aback is understandable. We were both, I think everybody was, taken aback because of the way it was described. When you rupture a ligament in your ankle or in your foot, and you're a professional athlete, you have reason for alarm if you're a fan or a media observer because it sounds terrible.
I really enjoyed the breakfast we had with Billy and with AK, and breakfast with Billy and the boss was a lot of fun for me. And I felt hopeful about them, and I enjoyed those guys and the conversation. Then I found out that the guy had ruptured a ligament at the Olympics, and we had talked to them about the Olympics. And I felt like, oh boy, you know, they've lost me now for good.
Well,
if it turns out that this guy, and then he played and he's fine.
It was because, though, let's be honest here.
Yeah,
we were more disappointed that they didn't share it via us.
That's what
than we were about the health and welfare of Josh Giddey.
That is exactly what I'm saying, though. I mean, I was miffed.
We were like,
they didn't share that.
We thought we bonded over the Grateful Dead.
Exactly.
Come on, AK.
We had a nice cup of coffee.
Wait, come on.
And a nice chat. How could you not blurt out that the guy has ruptured?
We shared stories about the past,
but it turns out he's fine.
We bonded, and they told us nothing.
They didn't need to. Because it was nothing to see here. Move along.
Well, you know what? I was not as impressed with the Bulls until the second half.
Oh, they were.
I did not have the reaction. So, 90 seconds into the season, Billy Donovan calls timeout. So it took him a minute and a half to get ticked off.
No surprise.
No defense. No surprise. And so, my concerns about the Bulls after a good victory. You're right. Matis Pazelis is going to have to be heard from.
Oh,
sooner rather than later.
I mean,
sooner rather. I like the kid. He already made an impression. But Mully, still, defense and three-point shooting. Where are those coming from on this roster?
David, they won their first game.
I know.
That's
if,
all
if
I
were as excited as you were, you would be telling me the same thing I'm telling you.
Listen, I know what the foibles and issues are. There's no mistaking what the problems are. I just thought they came out. I thought they were going to get blown out. And then they ended up, and I don't know why I stayed with it through halftime. I think because I was getting yelled at about being part of the patriarchy or something. I just lost focus because I was getting picked upon. You don't know what it's like having young women in your house telling you you're part of the patriarchy. I'm like, hey, I grew up on the South Side. The man has kept me down for years.
Wow, that was quite a game.
Yeah. But then I got to watch the game kind of focus on it the
Little
second
focus.
Half. Because I just
What did you like most? I know we'll get to the
about
pick
the
six.
Patriarchy?
About the Bulls hierarchy.
What did I like most about it? They ran the floor. They did exactly what they claimed they were going to do. There was a moment where
I'm still kind of eh.
Where the young Australian lad comes down the floor. And it just tried to score, and two guys dunked it. I swear to God, there were two guys behind him dunking the same basketball. It was hilarious. It was just they went up and down the floor. They ran up and down the floor.
33 fast break points. Now, for the first time out, that was the pace Billy Donovan was looking for. That's the identity they seek. They also are a team that you're going to get used to. Josh Giddey can run the floor. Giddey is young, athletic, and I think he's going to be somebody that is going to have an impact.
He's going to do what they wanted Lonzo Ball to do. And Lonzo, obviously, they scratched him before the game. There was no surprise there. But he was sitting there.
But did you see that he had a COVID setback?
Yeah, he had.
That's too bad.
He wasn't sitting there. The reason he didn't play. Which, honestly, when I read that, I just thought, the word just went through my head, cursed. He's just cursed.
You feel bad for him.
I don't know how to.
When he gets back to the court, as we continue to say, if he steps onto the floor for a meaningful minute, if it's just even one, it's a victory for him and for everybody, for medical science. It's a victory.
He said he has a new knee. He says he's got a new knee.
It's remarkable how far he has come and what he has been through.
But when you heard the COVID thing, didn't you just I didn't mean, poor guy. You know, it's amazing. If it ain't one thing, it's another.
You know, they're going to play some times with Patrick Williams at the five.
Yes.
They're going to play small ball.
Yes.
He's going to be your five. He's going to guard the other team. That is the definition of positionless basketball in the NBA this day and age. When you have your five, your center, traditionally, as a guy that also could play small forward for you.
Look at Bezalis. He came down at one point.
He's really interesting.
And he did a turnaround jumper, and Stacey King started laughing. It was just like, wow, like where did that come from?
Yeah, I think
that was right out of Mike's playbook.
And you know what you like about it as much as anything? That the kid didn't feel fazed by it. He just has that confidence.
Yeah,
he's got a little bit of a swagger on the court. I like it. I like the attitude. We'll see how he fits, but it's fun.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you to return the Cooper Flagg jersey. But it did look like they were better than I thought.
I didn't
they were
buy one
be.
Yet. I have it on
wearing
hold.
It. You've been.
I have it on hold.
Feel like Danny used to? Didn't he order a? Didn't he have the wrong number on his jersey?
Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah,
something like that.